I am Gary Colley. Our discussion of late has been concerning the Church of Christ and the reasons why we call it the Church of Christ. We do not do that because it's some ordinance of man or because man decided that was a thing to do, but rather it was because Christ built it. He called it His. It is His body. He's the chief cornerstone. It is His own house. He gave Himself for it. It's His wife, the bride of Christ. And He says He's the Savior of the body. He's the head of all, in all things to the church. And that He adds people who are saved to His church. We are all baptized, He said, into the one body. And the one body is the church. And all baptized believers are in the church. So the connecting link through the ages is the seed, which is the Word of God that brings us into the kingdom of God, the Church of Christ. So eternal life in Christ is the goal of those who live in Christ Jesus, and that's the reason they are encouraging you to study the Bible and to walk in the will of God yourself. The Lord made but one church. He bought or purchased but one church, and He is the head of but one church, and He promises to save only one church. I know that that does not meet the approval of men of the world, but it meets the approval of God and the Son of God who shed His blood to purchase the Church of Christ. But sometimes people say to us, as we discussed with you last Lord's Day, yes, I've been warned about the Church of Christ. Well, what kind of a warning did you get, my friends? Well, when we study with them and talk with them, one of the things they say is that the Church of Christ doesn't believe the Old Testament. Well, we discussed that last Lord's Day, and in closing, we showed that we were simply not under the law of Moses today. We have it for our learning and our admonition, but not for our law. In our current way of living in this land, we once were under another law. We were under English law, then colonial law. But you know, there has also been that which is the difference in different countries of laws under which they were and constitutions under which they live. Many points, of course, would remain the same, though we are now under the democracy of America. And in this, the jurisprudence takes hold. And those students desire the background of law, they have a knowledge. They'll study all types of history, but they know the one under which they live. And just so under the New Testament of Jesus Christ, not under Moses and his law, not even under the Ten Commandments as such. But that does not mean that the old law or Old Testament isn't inspired. It does not mean that we do not believe it. It does not mean that it doesn't serve a useful purpose, even for those who walk and follow in the steps of Jesus. But it does mean that we do not follow that as a law, and correctly so. But then again, somebody says, well, I've been warned about the Church of Christ that they're against music. Well, of course, there are those who say the Church of Christ doesn't believe in music and worship. I often say to these, oh, but we do. We just believe in the kind of music the Lord commanded. You know, there are two kinds of music. There's vocal and instrumental. And we in worship unto God, living only by the text of the Bible, we find only singing there. Many of those, then, who are hearers of our program have heard this charge, though. The Church of Christ is against music. And it's perhaps the single most discussed fact, I guess, when the worship of God's people is being given any consideration at all. Now, there are those who really believe that the Church of Christ doesn't believe in music. Yet it is true, my friends, that we have music in every service. And we know no faithful Christian who would think that he had faithfully worshiped God on the Lord's Day without having music involved. You see, we must state the fact correctly, though. The Church of Christ is opposed to mechanical instruments of music in worship. That's what the Lord has regulated, worship. And if it is worship, and that's what the Lord has regulated, then we want to live in harmony with the Lord's regulations. He has not legislated concerning instrumental music or the playing on an instrument of any kind except the harp. And it is not purely for entertainment. It's not for pleasure. And in the circumstances where worship is not the intent, then perhaps entertainment and pleasure are all right. And it's all right to use the instrument of music. It's not that we don't like instruments of music. It's just that the Lord does not command it. But you see, He has regulated in worship, stating any kind of worship must be in spirit and in truth that comes correctly before God. You remember John 4:24, don't you? God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now that word truth demands by John 17:17, that says thy word is truth, that worship must be in keeping with the word of God. That is the new covenant under which we live today. And indeed, it can't be of faith unless it is by the word of God. Romans 10:17 says, now faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If we have no evidence that the word of God approves a matter, such as instrumental music, then we really have no faith about it, do we, my friend? Now here's the range of New Testament teaching on music, covering the Lord's ministry, the prophecies concerning the Lord's will being brought to man, the practice of the apostles and the pattern of the New Testament church that's set before us in the first century. Notice, my friends, the words from these verses that we emphasize. In Matthew 26:30 and Mark 14:26, it says they sung a hymn. In Acts 16:25, it says they sang at midnight in prison. In Romans 15:9, the word sing is there, but not play. 1 Corinthians 14:15, sing. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. Never does he say, I will play with the Spirit, and I will play with the understanding also. No, some now want to play while they pray, and some want to play while the Lord's Supper is being served. But there's not playing anywhere in the New Testament. They always sing. In Ephesians 5:19, there the Bible says that we're to speak one to another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts unto the Lord. So the heart accompanies the singing from the mouth, and of course that's the only instrument that is used in the New Testament. No mechanical instruments of music are even mentioned. In Colossians 3:16, he says singing. In Hebrews 13:15, he says it's the fruit of the lips. In James 5:13, he said sing. So surely, my friends, no one can miss the action the Lord has repeatedly specified, and it is highly significant, I believe, that the Lord repeated this over and over in the New Testament, whereas the mechanical instrument and playing did take place under the Old Testament law, but not in the temple or the tabernacle where God made the worship. But the church of our Lord is expected to abide in his word, isn't it? The early church was commended for following the doctrine of the apostles. In Acts 2:42, it says, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, in breaking of bread, and in prayer. I wonder, will we continue steadfastly in the doctrine of our Lord? 1 Timothy 4:16 says, take heed to thyself and to thy doctrine. Continue in these things, for in doing this, thou shalt save both thyself and them that hear thee. Now, if they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine in the early church, don't you think we ought to do the same if we claim to be the same thing? If we're not caring whether we're the church of Christ or not, it wouldn't make any difference. We could just sing and play and do anything else we wanted to do, count beads, burn candles, wear long flowing robes. But you know, that's the reason we do not do these things, and that's the reason that we must do the things the Lord commands. We want to continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, which is also, of course, the doctrine of Christ. You know, 2 John 9:11 says, whosoever goeth onward or beyond and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. But he that abideth in the doctrine, he hath both the Father and the Son. And if anyone come unto you and bring not this doctrine, do not invite him into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deed. Now, my friend, I don't want to be partakers with any man who does evil. And I cannot worship with people who use the instrument of music knowing that they have absolutely no authority from the Lord, no authority from the Scriptures to do that. But when men want their instruments of music anyway, and they cause them to even be louder than the singing, then they say, well, the churches of Christ are against music. Well, no, we're not against music. But the doctrine of instrumental music we are against, simply because there is no authority for it in the Scriptures at all. Now, there are many who are listening, no doubt, to this program this morning who are not members of the churches of Christ. And maybe you've been warned about the Church of Christ in this way. Would you ask the one who warned you? Where is your authority for the use of instrumental music? If you will give us one verse, my friends, that authorizes it, we'll be more than glad to use it. But we simply are honest enough to say that until we find that, we're not going to be using that in our worship unto God. You know, that doctrine provides for music in the church. That New Testament doctrine does, but it specifies that the music is to be vocal. We noticed all the verses, and each saint here is to be singing. Now, if instrumental music is involved, then each saint would have to play and sing. But here it's not true. Each saint sings, praising God, offering unto Him the praise from his lips. You see, the music that one enjoys and engages in under pleasure and entertainment circumstances is one thing. But music in the body of Christ is to be vocal music. We are to sing and make melody in our hearts unto the Lord. Now, if you've been warned about the Church of Christ because it doesn't use music, I hope that you understand better the position that we really take. And I hope that you will correct those who make the false statements that we do not believe in music. We do. We just believe in the kind of music the Lord commanded us to use.